I'm Rafael Reaza. I'm here with Roberto Colmenares, who is an immigrant to the D.C. area. It is October 26, 2015 at 9:52 p.m. and we are in Silver Spring, Maryland. So, Roberto, can you tell me where you were born and a little bit about your childhood?
I born in Caracas, Venezuela. And the time when I was born, and that was in 1943, I don't really remember exactly, of course, what had going around. But after 4 or 5 years ago of my young age, I remember some things. And I can remember that Caracas was a very beautiful city. People used hat and sombrero de pajilla. I don't know how you say that, this kind of hat.
Straw hats.
A straw hat. And people was very elegant in the street. Men put out the hat for say hello and permit ladies first. And they was tranvía. Tranvía is like a train, but with outdoors because it's a tropical country. So this was a very beautiful experience to travel in this kind of tranvías because it was no doors, no windows, only banks.
Mm-hmm. And in what year was this?
Pardon?
In what year was this?
It must be around maybe 1947. 47, 48, 50, beginning of the 50, and the markets in the streets was beautiful. All the fruits was out. The city was very little, and people was nice, but the color of the fruits, the flowers, the mountains. We have a beautiful mountains in the front of the city, in the north of the city, that the name is El Ávila. That is a big mountain, beautiful. That is used to, you feel it, the mountain is in the front of you. There was no big traffic and anything like that. But there was something interesting because more or less from the 50, they become a dictator, a military government. And his name was Pérez Jiménez, Marcos Pérez Jiménez. He was a dictator, a terrorist. He followed all the people that was against him. And everybody was involved in politics, you know. Again, him or with him, with the dictator is always like that. Or you are with him, or you are against him. If you are with him, you it's good for you. If you are against them, you are in trouble. So there was this big contradiction in this city, because in one side, the city was very organized. And the city was very clean, very progressive. He make a lot of construction. He make big highways and take care of really of people. But they don't support any ideas against him. Mm. But he was a progressist dictator. But terrible with his enemy. So there was a lot of people in prison. Everybody that think against him was in prison, and the worst was torture, you know, they torture them. But it's interesting because our country, and it's very similar in all the countries in Latin America, they have a big tradition with dictator, military governments. And there are a kind of phenomenon, you say phenomenon, in Latin America, that always, even now, while we are talking with this interview, the reason because I am here is because we left our country because now, 70 years later, there are a government, a dictator again, you know? So it's like a circle. And Latin America live around this circle. There are a little time of democracy, and again, coming a dictator every 40 years, every 50 years, every 30 years, and other countries every 10 years. And I think the reason that in our countries, in our culture, the political dictators come back is because the origin could be in the machismo. That means that the men has a role in our society, very strong, and they have too much privilege. Mm-hmm. And one of the most common privilege is they have a lot of women, and they have a lot of children, and they left women and they left children and go with another woman and make children and after they go with another woman. So, mm-hmm. so there are no paternal responsibility. Mm-hmm. So in the cities of our culture and country, we are always looking for the image of the father is not very strong. I mean, there are a lot of obsession, and many people have very wonderful family and responsible family. But in general, in the middle classes, down, mm-hmm. and poor people
in the slums,
this is a terrible responsibility about family, about the way of life and the privilege. So the women are very sacrificed. So that's opened the door for the when they come in some of the dictator, the image of the King of Salvador or somebody that going to change everything and everything's going to be okay because a man going to save the country and change, and they believe anybody that suddenly coming mm-hmm. with new ideas, and always is populism, mm-hmm. is a lot of corruption, mm-hmm. because when you have the power in one man, everything is lost, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but there are a big contradiction, because after when Pérez Jiménez is finished, the democracy arrive and they put out Pérez Jiménez, and we become with a democracy again. Mm-hmm. But before we have Gómez for many years, Juan Vicente Gómez too. And after we have another one, we have a big, big tradition of punch military mm-hmm. and dictators.
Yeah.
And behind this time, we have periods of democracy, strong periods of democracy. Mm-hmm. But at the moment, we're back again to the beginning.
Right. Well, it seems that Latin America as a whole has had a pattern of political corruption.
Yeah.
But back to your experience growing up in Venezuela, I know that you left your parents' house at the age of 16. Would you like to tell us why you decided to do that?
Yes, of course. Well, I was talking until now generally about the country, right? Mm-hmm. But my childhood in the middle of this strange political dictators and revolution and democracy, I have my personal life. I become in the school like everybody, but I don't feel very well from my young age in the school. I realized very, very, very soon that I would like to be, I don't want to be doctor, I don't want to be lawyer or engineer or something like that. I don't know why I was interested in to be artist from my young age. I discovered that I'm going to be an artist very, very, very young age. One time, when I was around 3 or 4 years, there was a party in my house. And all the adults was celebrating the party. And for my age, they put me in a room to sleep because they're going to have a big party for adults. So children go to the bed, you know. And I'm feeling very bad and very alone. I'm feeling terrible. Why don't I have right to participate in this party? Just because I have 4 years old, I could to be there too. I think I have right to be there. I never understood why children must be separate from adults' party, you know? I think they can to be all together, and the people can sleep, and the children sleep, and you, when they sleep, you put in the bed. But obligate the children to be outside, and the children listen the music, listen the sound, the conversation, the laughing. It's terrible for children to feel that outside there are the joy, and they are alone in the dark room, and they cannot sleep because there are music and there are a kind of a good time, you know. And children, we feeling this energy of happiness, and we cannot understand why we must be separate of this marvelous moment of life. So I become to feel very bad, and I start to cry. And my mom coming, what happened? Why are you crying so much? And I make a kind of theater. This is my first acting in my life. So I cried, and everybody was worrying, and they touched my front, and they touched my neck to know if something is okay. But in my inside, I was very okay. I just don't want to be alone. I want to participate there. But I cannot say, I want to be with you, because it was a factor that I cannot go there. It's very late, and you must to be in your room and sleep. This is what supposed to do children at this time. So I become to feeling like I was a breakdown, and I feeling terrible, and they take care of me. But they say, but it's okay, yes. And they was a doctor, yes, it's okay. Nothing happening. And at this moment, and after I sleep very nice, they take care of me, maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes. The party was interrupted, you know. Mm-hmm. I take all the attention, mm-hmm. and that's finished. But in my inside, I have a big revelation. I understood that I could to express other things than I don't know my really feelings. I could to have attention. And I think I was the beginning, this kind of acting, this kind of little liar for half attention of my family. It was a success for me this night. I feeling better after because they take care, and after goodbye, and I sleep very well. I realized, inconscient of course, that acting is okay, that acting is a way of life. Mm. And when I was in my first degree in primary school, there was carnival. Carnival in our culture are very important. You know, it's a big part in Venezuela, Brazil, all this country. Mm-hmm. Carnival and December and all these celebrations are big theater, big show, big spectacles, you know, mm-hmm. in the street, in the house, and everywhere.
Very big event.
Yeah, a very big event. So, when I went to the school, they say everybody must come in tomorrow with a how you call when you make costumes, you know, disfraz.
Oh, you dress up.
You dress up, right? You dress up, and everybody dress up. But they say we must dress up not only by dress up. They in the school they tell us that. They prefer that we make our dress up. Mm-hmm. And that was a
that
very good idea, very creative. Yeah, everybody must create his role. His role that he won't make for yourself. And for me, what I'm going to do? What I'm going to do? And I decide to dresses of clown. And it was very easy because we have big an old pants and a big shirt and something like that. And I put in my face at this time something for cleaning your shoes, your white shoes. There are a cream for shoes, for
shoe cleaner, for
shoe cleaner white. Mm-hmm. So I put that in my face. And I put my face all white. And I put my
eyebrows.
Eyebrows.
You painted your eyebrows.
My eyebrows. And I changed all my personality. Mm-hmm. And when I come into the school, nobody recognized me. You know? And who are you? And who are you? And I don't talk because I didn't talk because I knew if I talk, they recognize me. So I become to move and say like this. I am. I cannot talk. Mm-hmm. Only by movement I express myself. So nobody discovered in my school who was me.
You were miming.
Yeah, I mime, and it's very interesting that because 15, 17 years later I become mime, and I realized there. In this moment is when I really decided in my life to be mine because that's work to like my childhood, who were climbing for to have attention, and this was a success because everybody know who is all the roles, all the costume, but me nobody recognized me, and that made me a kind of secret life for few hours. But it was very interesting that nobody recognized me, but I recognized everybody. So I feeling like a king of mystery, protection, and like a king of war behind me and them, because I recognize them, but they don't recognize me, and was various experiences. And that was all. Of course, when I come back home for put out this kind of makeup from my face, was very hard. Because was no makeup, was something for
shoe cleaner.
For shoe cleaner.
So it was very uncomfortable. Cleaner.
Yeah, very uncomfortable, very hard. But this experience was marked my life too in the war for becoming an artist and a mime and actor. And after, when I grow up, I become to I like the music too. I won and all my preference was always no traditional profession. So my family was very disappointed. They want I become doctor, lawyer, of course, all these kind of things. And they realized that my direction was around artist or something like that. And they was no great with that. And I realized very soon that I don't feel comfortable to become doctor or something like that. And I don't feel comfortable with the society of my time too, because it was very traditional. And people of my age, my friends, they like sports, they like music, they like party. But they don't like too much art. So in my middle environment, in my ambiente.
Oh, in your environment.
In my environment, there was no very artistic environment. So I tried to go to another quartier, or another sections, or another.
Areas,
there were there was theater, there was a museum, concert, and I become little to little like that. But in a moment, I discover that wasn't too much school and not too much education. Or to be actor, you need to go to a group of theater, then make theater, and in the practice you learn to acting. So I went to a group that was in we have this characteristic. And it was del grupo Máscaras. And when I come in there, I discovered there was a political company. So they was again the dictator, because the dictator during this time that I'm talking to you was in the government. This government is stay around, I don't know, see, 10 years or more, something like that, very long, this dictator. So when I became a member of this theater, this company of theater, I discovered was a political theater that make a theater against the dictator. So for me it was okay, because behind I am, I think, I don't care if it was political or not. I just want to act. Mm-hmm. So I become, and they was very good people, very interesting people, and young people with ideas, creative, revolutionary, and everything. But from a moment, they make a new show. And the principal role of the show was a man that has member of this group for many years. But he have a bourse, una beca, how you say beca?
A scholarship.
A scholarship to Russia to study in the Stanislavski School, the most prestigious company of actors in Russia. Mm-hmm. And they must to leave the show and go there. And I was very skinny, and the director told me, can you play the role not for forever, just for a while, behind we discover another actor, just for continuous to the creative.
So you were a placekeeper.
I was a placekeeper, right. But I have only in the theater like a 6 months, something like that. And for surprise of everybody, I did the work very good. And they was very surprised, and they say, well, finally, maybe you can do this role. Mm-hmm. And other members of the company say, no, it's not possible. He has only 6 months here, and there are people that has several years here working. We must to find somebody that have experience. But no, the director say, you stay, because you do. I did so well, honestly, that I have a big success with the role, and the role doesn't talk, was silent. No mind, was the an adaptation of the...
A mime had never done that role before.
Yeah. So I did, and I was okay. I finished, and with very good critics, and they give me a work in another city of Venezuela. Mm-hmm. At this time, I have 16 years. Mm-hmm. 16 years old. And I went to Barquisimeto, Lara. It's like to go to Kansas City or something like that, another city. And this city was more beautiful than Caracas, because it was older than Caracas, you know, because inside of the country, they live more in ancient times, you know, mm-hmm. in old times. And I stayed there in a year working, and they give me a workshop.
A scholarship.
A scholarship. Mm-hmm. And they say, we are going to give you this opportunity. You can to go to Chile, because there are a good theater in Chile, in the Universidad Católica, in the Catholic University of Chile. But I discovered that Alexander Jodorowsky, that was working with my Saint Marceau, live there in Mexico. So I say, I don't want to go to Chile, I want to go to Mexico, because I knew Alexander Jodorowsky in the around the 54, 50, say, almost 58. In 58, the dictator go, is change, democracy coming, and they give me the opportunity to go to Mexico. I arrive to Mexico for the first time. I leave Venezuela, I leave my family, and I go, and I thought I will leave Venezuela forever. Mm-hmm. But you never know when it's forever or never, you know? So I went, I discovered Alexander. I arrived to Mexico, I find his address. I touched his door in the morning, and he was sleeping. And he opened the door in the second floor, and they said, "What you want?" And I said, "Well, I'm coming from a study with you." And he told me, "Well, I teach in this school." And I say, "No, I want to study with you personally. Mm-hmm. I come in from Venezuela, and I want to study with you personally." So he, "Okay, coming." He opened the door, and we take breakfast together, and we become friends for many years. And for I was first his student, and after I was membership of his company. Mm-hmm. And after we worked for 5 years in Mexico City. All my career in Mexico City was at side of Alexander Jodorowsky, and we went we create a movement of theater that is a very important movement at this moment, that was Teatro Panico, mm-hmm. Panic Theater, mm-hmm. that was a kind of provocative theater like the Living Theater, of a kind of the Living Theater, but we didn't knew what the Living Theater existed. We make our safe Living Theater, you know, a theatre of avant-garde, yeah. Theatre of
progressive
theatre. So Mexico was a very, is a very traditional country. They are very nationalist, and they hate what the theatre than we did, because this kind of theatre was, again, like Virgen de Guadalupe, and get the traditional costume, mm-hmm. traditional ideas, traditional concepts, was a kind of provocation all the time. And they tried, every time that we finish show, they tried to kill us. We must to finish the show in the back door and running and to escape for many days, because we attacked the Mexican culture. Mm-hmm. Years later, they began to appreciate, to understand what we did. But at the time that we did, they don't understood. Today, Alexander Jodorowsky is an hero in Mexico. He's a big hero. And the movement that we did and all that left as many good roots mm-hmm. in the development of theatrical culture of Mexico. Mm-hmm. But we went, so at this moment, I finished 5 years and I back to Venezuela. I back to Venezuela after 5 years in Mexico, because I finished my time in Mexico, and they called me to Venezuela to work a new channel of television. And I have a contract to work from television. I went there. But I work in television, and I make shows, I make theater, I direct different pieces, different shows, and I make a very good marvelous experiences. I found a school of mime, a school of theaters, and made shows, and that was so successfully that they made me a new college ship mm-hmm. to go to France. Huh. So I went to France.
And what year was this?
Mexico was between 60 and 65, 66, and I stay in Venezuela 1 year, 1 year and a half before 70, and in 17 I went to France to study, no with Marceau. I studied with the master of Marceau, that was Etienne Decroux, a big legend of the mime theater, and he was the teacher of Marceau, Jean-Louis Barrault, Alexandre Jodorowsky, Coppo, many artists. So then, when I studied with this kind of master, they went people around 85 years old. So they was, you know, people older, but big master in the traditional French theater. So I have this privilege. I work with him, with Jean-Louis Barrault. I work in French television, and I work I study with somebody that was very important in my development of my career, and the name was Jacques Lecoq. Mm-hmm. Jacques Lecoq is a new concept of modern mime. So for me, it was marvelous to have the opportunity to study the traditional mime and study the modern mind. And when you have the possibility to compare the traditional and the modern art in dance and music and painting, in any kind of art, you have a marvelous relationship because you have the roots and you have the development of these roots. And so you are free in the way of express yourself because you know the rules. It's like you study ballet and after you study modern dance, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like you study traditional classic painter and you study abstraction or other techniques. So that makes it's very good experience to study both sides of the art. The modern and traditional arts are a good point to find yourself in the way of expression. And that was very, very, very funny, really. Yeah, very marvelous experience. Mm-hmm. There, I finish, and I back to Venezuela. I work 1 year more again. I make shows. I make mime shows, theater show, conference teacher, etc. And I decide, I back to France again. In France, it's very interesting because in France, in my second time, mm-hmm. I thought, I was very young, I thought I know all the techniques of France acting, French acting, and French theater. So I decide to go to find a new way, and I was curious to go the American technique of acting, mm-hmm. the American art, the modern art, because United States was always the maximum in modern yeah. art, you know. So it was for all artists, it was a kind of goal to know what's happening here. So I decided to come in to USA, and I did. I went. At this time I was married with an American woman, so I could to have the opportunity to have my green card and everything very fast. And I back and I start to study to working, and I have a marvelous experiences in modern dance with somebody that the name was Alvin Nicolai. Alvin Nicolai is one of the first creators of the modern dance, and but no, like Martha Graham or other artists as choreographers that are very important.
Where did you go?
New York. I went to New York, and in New York I studied modern dance. I studied theater too. And workshop in different groups, and I studied production and directing of television in RCB, and RCA in RCA, American Broadcasting. So I studied because in a moment I realized that I was interested in films, in movies. And I want to develop in my career not only theater but in other ways. And I realized the television have a very good opportunity to be the middle between theater and films, because they was less expensive for produce, and at the moment was very good things than happening in television. The television was to become grow up very, very fast. Mm-hmm. So I was involved, and I stayed several years there in New York. And after, they called me from Venezuela for another experiences again. Mm-hmm. And I divorced in New York. And because I divorced, that touched me in a way that I feel like I want to leave America. Mm-hmm. I finished with my relationship, and I mixed my relationship with my professional life, and I decide to change again. And I decide to leave America and to leave, when I say America, I'm talking about United States, but
yeah.
North America, because yeah. of course.
How long did it take you to obtain a green card?
The first time was very fast because I was married with an American woman, so it was very fast and was very easy, no problem at all. They give me very, very quick. I didn't really, and was very interesting because. And I went back to Venezuela. I worked for several years in Venezuela this time, not 1 year. And I traveled. I went back to Mexico to make shows. I went to Colombia to make films. Mm-hmm. I went to France, mm-hmm. to Paris. And I was always around Mexico, Colombia, Venezuela, and Paris. And I come in sometimes, like tourists to America. But in Venezuela, coming a new dictator, and you can see how our life is dependent in a way very, very strong outside of political mm-hmm. Development, you know.
In what year did you return to Venezuela?
This is around 80. And between 1890, I travel. I stay in Venezuela, but I turn around behind Colombia, Mexico, Paris, Venezuela, Colombia, etc. No, and in 1992, becoming the government of Chavez. A dictator, yeah, around, that's becoming, yeah, they becoming, they win the election, they did a punch, a military punch, they was in prison,
a coup d'etat,
yeah, a coup d'etat, and coup d'etat, alors il sort, il permis, il they permis, they give freedom to him. And he becoming a very popular. He becoming a leader. He win the elections. He becoming president this time. He tried to he did a coup d'état. He was forgive me.
Yes. Pardoned.
Pardoned. Pardoned. And he becoming a traditional politic leader. And he win the election because you know after all this background military punch. And the democracy, because the sad story is the democracy becoming, with the time, worse and worse, more corruption in the democracy, mm-hmm. more bad things. Mm-hmm. So the table was ready for a new leader than say, anything that he say mm-hmm. was good because the people was tired about corruption of the end of the democracy. Mm-hmm. The democracy in the beginning was wonderful, mm-hmm. but in the end they become worse and worse.
Yeah.
People become tired, arrive a populist, and okay, it's okay, and he win. And when he come,
and this was in 1999,
more or less, and this time. They become to destroy the channel where I work. I work in Radio Caracas Television for many years. Was a very important channel of television. And they close the channel because we become to do political programs and political shows and everything. And he quickly closed the channel and everybody out. And after he become to close radios, television, a channel, a newspaper, everything, and he become, in the end, there was no work for artists. They only was work for people that are communist, the people that are against communist, democratic people that doesn't have right to anything. Mm-hmm. Even they take them in prison, mm-hmm. and they torture them. The same story come again. And
so there was no freedom of press.
No, anymore. There are no freedom of expression, and there are no possibility to artists for artists and for educators and for anybody. You know, they contribute, and they become in a level of corruption worse than before. Mm-hmm. And he destroyed all the country. The country today is really absolutely finished. You go to to Venezuela, and you don't believe what you will see. You know, it's not the same country that we talked before. So we decide to emigrate. Something happening very interesting in my stay in Venezuela for this time. I becoming in love with a young girl, and in a very strange way, you know, because I was not looking for nobody, she was not looking for nobody, but we find each other in a place of friends, and we become very interesting in each other, and quickly I was to his family to talk, that I was interested with her, and 1 year later we married, and we work a lot, because when we married, was a little before than Chavez arrived, many years before Chavez arrived, so before the coup d'etat. So I work in theater and television, and we had a marvelous life in Venezuela. We went very happy. But when Chavez arrived, things become to change. Beijing becomes the same for the worse. We grow, we construe our house, we make many things. The country was beautiful, and suddenly they become to be destroyed very fast, and we realize that there are no possibility to stay there. We need to get out. And for the things marvelous of life, the mother of my wife was American, so she demanded us. And we go to the embassy, we try to emigrate to the States, and they give us all the paper. They ask me where the countries where I live. I must to say how long I live in all this country. My how you say, antecedentes penales,
Previous infractions.
See, previous infractions. Everything was unfortunately white in all the countries that I went. Mm-hmm. So I was clean in all ways. They give up very quickly. They knew I was an artist. I was not famous, but even in the embassy, in the consulate, they know me in the television.
You were well known.
Yeah, I was a little popular, so a little prestige. So they support me very quickly, and they give us everything, and we go back to the States. So we decide at what part of the state, because we are going now, not for a while. We decide we emigrate, because when communism arrives, you know that communism arrives, and you don't know never when this is going to finish. Mm-hmm. Communism is like the war. You know when they start, but not when this is going to be finished. Mm-hmm. Communism is a pest. It's the worst. And fascism and communism are the same thing, and both are the most terrible thing that can happen to a country or any human being, because there are frustrated people. Mm-hmm. There are democracy is not the best way, mm-hmm. but it's better than the other system. So we don't have choice. We must to defend democracy and work for democracy, because in democracy you have free expression, mm-hmm. you have possibility, you have different powers. In communism, you have one power, one man that is the leader of the one nation, and others are the subjects. It's like a king and there is slave, you know? It's exactly that. They say, they put in other name, they're saying, we work for the people, but they never work for the people. The big misery happened with communism and fascism. And when finally we arrived, and we decided to come into Washington. Mm-hmm. Why we decided to come into Washington? We decided because my wife have one brother and two sisters living here. Mm-hmm. So, yes, that means one brother and two sisters. Mm-hmm. So this is a support. When you emigrate, you need a support from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Because this is the big support, is the family, you know? This is because family is an important thing in all cultures, you know? Mm-hmm. Friends are marvelous, but families are very important, you know? Mm-hmm. So we decide to live 4 months with each of his brother and his sister. Mm-hmm. And like that, we spend 1 year accepting the helping, mm-hmm. to be helped from them. Mm-hmm. And that's marvelous because each family has different costume, different style of life, and we mix it. It was marvelous with each of them. And after 1 year, we was ready to make economy, to find jobs, to become a star. And finally, we could to buy some place. We could to start again. And was very quickly, around 1 year and a half, take us to buy and to become an establishment.
Tell me a little bit about the work that you do here in D.C.
Well, this is another thing marvelous. We be coming here, and when you emigrate, I must tell you that my wife and I, we was very successful professional in our profession. Mm-hmm. My wife is a kind of a psychopedagogue, is like kind of
a psychiatrist.
Infantil, psychology for mm-hmm. children, helping children with big troubles. Mm-hmm. And she was a successful professional in his work. And I was a successful professional too. So we left everything. We sell house, we sell car, but the thing is that when the communism arrived, you don't sell your things for the price than for the real value. Mm-hmm. You must to leave everything for anything. Mm-hmm. Imagine you
sell it for the best offer.
For the best offer, and the offer are very bad because nobody has money, and they profit of you are you need to go out, and so they want to give you the 10-15% than the value of your thing. But we don't care, and we take a big risk. And everybody told us, but you are crazy to emigrate and your age and everything like that. You are going to start. Everybody asked me, you are going to start to the States at your age. You have more than 70 years old. What you are going to do in the States? Nobody emigrate to this age, you know? And I said, listen, fight or fly, you say here, you know, and I prefer fly, you know, and I prefer fly than fight too, mm-hmm. because you don't fly always. You need to fight and fly both things. Really, it's not only option. You need to use both options. But all the pronostic that everybody told us was terrible. You know, America is very difficult. You are very old for COVID, start a new life. They don't like old people, this kind of thing. First thing, I never feeling old. I think you are what you feel, you know. Age is a concept, you know. But really, your age is how you're feeling, mm-hmm. finally. So we coming, and was marvelous. I make contact with Gala Theater. There are a lot of Hispanic people here. Mm-hmm. The Hispanic culture is very strong in the USA. Mm-hmm. Population that grow up are very brilliant people from our culture working here in many areas, mm-hmm. in economics, art, political. It's mm-hmm. very interesting. I made contact with a Gala Theater, an Hispanic company of theater that have 40 years working here with himself theater and everything. And I made contact, and they called me, and they start to work with them. And from I didn't stop until now, thank God. And everything was okay. I had work. My wife had work too. We have house, we have health, and we're feeling very well. We are very welcome for our family, very welcome for the people, very welcome for the neighbor. Everywhere mm-hmm. where I go, I feeling like I am in my country. But the idea is, usually in the end, you don't have a country. The country is where you are, mm-hmm. where you're feeling, and your house is your body. Mm-hmm. Your body go in different place, and if you adapt Adaptation is very important in all age. Mm-hmm. But in the beginning, there are an age for study. There are another age for be rebel. Mm-hmm. There are another age for be very important. And there are another age mm-hmm. for adapt. Mm-hmm. For adaptation is the key of everything. And I am at this moment now. But I realized that always I had this feeling of adaptation. Mm-hmm. I always, when I live in Europe and when I live in other countries, I always adapt. I never frequently many people of my culture, you know. I prefer to be with people of the culture where I live at this moment, to mm-hmm. to know them, to know how they are, mm-hmm. because this is my reality. My reality is not anymore where I come from. My reality is where I am. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So everything here in America is marvelous. I have a little contradiction with USA. Mm-hmm. I think USA didn't discover Latin America. And Latin America and USA was always worrying about countries far away, you know, like Arab. They have big conflicts and big interesting in the Middle East. And they have outside Latin America, that is the neighbor, and they don't take care of them. And there are a lot of volume, traditional, and energy, and things that are very important to America, like for them it's very important, and always was like that, American style of life and America, the conception of economy, of democracy and all that, was very strong in Latin America. Latin America, they had a feeling of a need of democracy, mm-hmm. of education. The American style of life is very appreciated in Latin America. But there are a kind of divorce between USA and Latin America. Mm-hmm. And this is a thing good for populism, for communista, for all these kind of people, for guerrilla, for all that. I think it's very important that America take care of the neighbor and mm. try to know them, not only the way that they coming only for to escape, for the misery of our country. Mm. So, you know, it could to be interesting, they try to know more them, because, you know, there are good neighbors. When you have any good neighbor, you need to cultivate them, to know them, you know. You, for example, I have a good neighbor here in my apartment. I say them hello, and I try to be friend with them. I don't know to ignore them, you know, because they are outside of my life. Yeah. The thing happening with the country, mm-hmm. when the countries are outside and very near, they must to be more close and to be more in contact, mm-hmm. and not only have a relationship. Then the important thing is the economy, no? There are economy, there are the culture, there are the human relationship, there are education, there are so many things that we must discover each other that could to be a good thing for Latin America, but a good thing for the state too.
Definitely. So have you noticed any specific differences in the culture of Venezuela to the culture in the United States?
Oh, yes, absolutely. We have a lot of things to learn from United States, and United States have a lot of things to learn from Latin America too. This is because I think it's a good marriage, you know. For example, we are very, very tender. We like to touch each other. We like to see each other. We visit people. We like party. We like the things. America is more seriously, more
rigid.
More rigid, and you don't frequent your neighbor, you don't go to a party with your neighbor. In our countries, you know all your neighbor and you have party. Today we had a party with the men outside, and tomorrow with another one, and they are in contact always, you know. and
it's more familial.
It's more familiar. This concept of familiar is absolutely different. For example, the children in America, they left the house very quickly. This is good for a side, but for another side, it's not good either, because you can go but to be always together, to take this vehicle. Mm-hmm. Don't lose this relationship, you know, mm-hmm. because family has a lot of contradiction, but family is family, you know, and you never sometimes we find friends that are so important in our family too in life, you know. There are friends that are really so good, them with us or we with them, that we become family. But the vinculation, the relationship with family is very important. Don't lose, because that make a strong a country, you know. Mm-hmm. And in other things than change too, is the very different thing is the way of life. American style of life, he is concentrated too much in work, mm-hmm. and they don't have time to enjoy life. Mm-hmm. And life is a party, you know. Life is not a work. Mm-hmm. Work is a part of the party. It's just in other side of the mm-hmm. of the what happened in our lives, and we cannot take so seriously. Mm-hmm. It's not about survive. It's about enjoying life. Mm-hmm. And another thing is. But there are a lot of things, for example, about education. It's very important what happened here, you know. You have the best university in the world. Even the communist people, China's and Arab people, they put their children in the American university. They don't leave them to study in their country. They
send them
to study here. So it's absolutely true that the best education in the world is really in the States, you know. And there are other things, but I discovered that American citizens are very, when you arrive to know them mm-hmm. and to cross their personality, they becoming absolutely different from the first image than they project, you know. And in the end, all the human beings, we are the same. Yeah. And we need to have the concept, definitely, that the planet is one, that the human being is the same. You know, we need to finish this conception about nationalities,
cultures,
and race. We need to understand that the human race is one. It's a big family. Even if you are Chinese, if you are Arab, if you are any race, you know, it's the same family. It's a planet, and we need to develop the conception of countries, of Occident and Orient. There are so many things that West and the East side need to mix each other, you know. Mm-hmm. Then it's passionate to know these contrasts of the human being about all, because we are the same human being, we are the same family.
Mm-hmm. Now, coming to America, have you had any language problems?
Oh, yes. I have a big problem with my English. Because, you know why? The first problem with the language is when your family is from your country, your wife is from your country, your family is from your country, and you frequent them, you speak only Spanish, you know. And I speak, and I work now in Spanish. I make theater and I acting in Spanish. But I think, remember I have only here one year and a half. But I am sure I am going to developing my English, I hope so, and grow up, and I desire, because I feeling, how you say,
inhibited,
when I listen to speak people of my nationality, or from other countries, or Latin America, or Europe, speak English so well, and express so fluently, you know. And for me, it's a goal that I need to arrive. Mm-hmm. It's a big challenger, really. dumbbell. I am sure I'm going to make. Yeah. And I like it. You know, I like it a lot to acting in English. English is very good. There are acting in different languages. Acting in Spanish is marvelous. But in Italian is unbelievable because Italian is a very... mamma mia, it's very expressive, yeah. You know, ma che dice, yeah. Che cosa bella. It's very expressive. Yeah. French is very romantic, you know. Even German is, you know, very characteristic, very strong. But English have all these possibilities, you know. Mm-hmm. Remember that you have the idiom of Shakespeare. So really something that needs...
Very versatile.
He very rich for acting. Really.
Mm-hmm. Now, you did come here during the 70s also, and you gained residency. Did you notice any differences in the process of gaining residency then and now?
Well, you know, it's a very interesting question, because... In the time I was in New York, in the 70s, remember there was a political and artistic expression very important, you know. There was Black Power, there was Panthers, there was the music, the rock and roll, the Woodstock, you know. Well, this was this time that we have concerts in New York every weekend, but the best concert, free. You know, in the street, you find in any cafe the best concert was the hippie time, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's marvelous. That was because in the end, I am acting now at the moment, I am making the role of Don Quixote at this moment now, October of
1915.
I'm making Don Quixote in theater. And I discovered Don Quixote was a hippie. You know, really, because it's the same thing, it's the spirit of adventure, you know, the spirit of freedom, to be crazy for a while, you know. These things are important in the life of everybody, you know. This is because we cannot take the life very seriously, because the life is not very seriously. The life is serious and it's funny too, you know. Mm-hmm. And you need to do, you have the comedy and the tragedy in all your life. So you must be conscious and that this part is night and day, you know. There are these contrasted, but it's the same life. Mm-hmm. It's the same the same things. So it's only moments. The things change. And it's important when we realize that, because the things don't going to affect us so much, you know, just for a while, you know. But no, definitely. Nothing is definite, you know. Maybe there are definite things, maybe we don't discover until now.
Okay. So have you, other than your family, of course, have you been able to find community with other Venezuelans here in the D.C. area?
Yes, of course. I discovered a lot of Venezuelan people, and they are very nice, and we find each other, we're laughing a lot. And even for my self-surprise, in the theater, I make the first show that I made. We went 3 Venezuelan actors in the show. And now, the show I'm making now, the she's a Venezuelan girl, and always there are a Venezuelan guy around, you know. Mm-hmm. You go to anywhere in the world and you're going to find a Venezuelan guy. But I am sure that happens with every nationality. You are French and you go to China, you are going to find a French guy, you know.
Yeah. Especially in this modern age.
Of course. And that means that we are the same, you know. Mm-hmm. We are just turned around, you know, that's all.
So are you happy to be living here in the United States?
Oh, yes. For me, it's a miracle, you know. For me, all that is a kind of miracle. But I must tell you, I am a man that believes in miracles. Mm-hmm. And all my life is a miracle. I cannot tell you in this moment to tell you all my the miracles that I had in my life. But I tell you, there was many. And the life itself is a miracle. Mm-hmm. To be in this planet and to have the opportunity to look the worst and the best of this life is a miracle, you know. Mm-hmm. Survive is a miracle. To be alive is a miracle. Yes. To be happy is a miracle. To be sad is a miracle too. Mm-hmm. To be sad is okay. To be happy is better. What's wrong is to be angry, to be ire, to be
envious,
to be don't have food, people that die of because they don't have food. That's our big tragedy. So for people that we don't live this kind of misery in life, we must realize that this is a miracle. It's not a thing than we can say no. We don't care. We must take care about happiness, and we take care about each other, and we must take care about people that not have the opportunity to have a good life than we had, you know.
Mm-hmm. This will conclude our interview. Is there anything that you would like to say to finish it off?
Yes, I would like to say that it's very important that the political, the leaders of the USA discover America, Latin America, you know. They discover all the war, because I am sure in the Arab people there are good person too, in Chinese and everybody, but the influence that American style of life has in the war is unbelievable. Maybe it's from the movie, from the music, from the shows, from the painter, from the art, for the show business, you don't know, but they have a big influence in the world. We cannot say not. Anywhere you go, you know, they like American way of life. And the only people that don't like that are communists, and communist is a pest, you know. You say pest?
It's a pest,
you know. That's the only thing that you need to be against in the world is not about race, religion, colors, philosopher, is about two things, fascism and communism. This is the real enemy of the human being. Religion is okay, everybody has right to have the religion that he like it, political ideas too, personal life too, anything, you know, it's so big, we are so many that we cannot be in the same way and to think in the same way. But something we must to be, to learn to stop it is fascism and communism, then the final is the same thing, because totalitarianism, this kind of thing that only one man can say what is right and what is not, is terrible in a family, in a country, in a world. You know, we need diversity. Diversity is the big creation of the Lord, you know. Diversity, freedom, creation, happiness, sadness, all that. No fight, no rancor, no bad passion, you know. Mm-hmm. With sad is enough. Sad is enough, because sad it permits you to coming inside, you know, to reflection. That is a marvelous feeling. It's so important than happiness. But angry, envied, but stalling, this kind of thing, we must superate. These things doesn't never finish well, this kind of attitude. Mm-hmm. And when human beings discover that the way of life is simple, the life is not so hard, the life is easier than we think, and we have the right to be free, and don't permit that nobody manipulate you, things going to be every day better and better. And I must say, really, only one thing to finish that is, the only thing that, honestly, I must say is, thank you, America, thank you, United States, thank you, Washington, thank you, New York, thank you. I like or America too, you know. Thank you, because in this moment of my life, this is the best for me, really, honestly. I'd like to back Venezuela. I desire Venezuela come back to the democracy. I would like to go to Venezuela anytime. But I would like to go to Paris too, and I would like to go to China, and I would like to go anywhere. Our country is when we are. It's not where we're born. It's where we live, and we have the possibility to live many lives. Behind, we have the opportunity to live in many countries. Mm-hmm. It's a big present to have the opportunity to live in different countries. Mm-hmm. So go.